Welcome to Vacation Station, hosted by Lisa and Nancy, editors of BigBlendMagazines.com.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Big Blend Radio with Nancy and Lisa. You know, we are full-time travelers on our Love Your Parks tour, where we document parks and public lands for our magazine that's known as Parks and Travel Magazine. And of course, we publish all of our digital magazines and host our Big Blend Radio shows as we travel. But one of the places that we really want to travel is the Jefferson Highway. So we're talking about multiple places. We're talking about going from Winnipeg in Canada down to New Orleans in Louisiana. So every fourth Thursday, because this whole highway, I mean, this was 1915, 1916, I'm going to get corrected just now, was created. And, you know, it was known as America's first vacation road. It is known as the Pines to Palms Highway. It's just really cool because it's being revived and people are traveling it again. And there is an association called the Jefferson Highway Association. They have a conference every year. The next one comes out June 1st through 4th. And anyway, you can go to jeffersonhighway.org. So we do this show every fourth Thursday so we can tell you more about the trail, or I should say the historic route, what you can see and do. And we're going to start traveling it. So you're going to hear a lot more over the years, literally, because I think, Nancy, once we get started in this, it's never going to end. It's going to be one of those things.
Yeah, I think we're going to get just drawn right down the rabbit hole there.
We're sucked in, and we've been to some of the places not knowing about the highway. So I want to give a shout out to Arlene Gould from Natchitoches Convention and Visitor Bureau, who got us all roped into this. But welcome back to the show. Roger Bell is the president of the Jefferson Highway Association. How are you doing, Roger?
I'm doing great this evening. Thanks for having us on again.
Hey, always, always good to talk about the Jefferson Highway. And you're in Oklahoma, right? So we can get some bearings.
I am in Muskogee, Oklahoma.
Cool. I love it. So we're going to be near you. So maybe we might see you. Who knows? We're going to be near you soon. We're going to be in Fayetteville, Arkansas soon. But so that's not part of the highway, but it looks like it could have been at one point, right?
Well, yes and no. In the latter days of the highway, Arkansas fought for the route early on in 1915. They sent a bunch of people to the convention in New Orleans, but they lost to Oklahoma. But they kept fighting and they kept fighting until in the 1920s, they opened up what was called the Arkansas Scenic Route. And we have not really fully developed that, but it was a very strange routing of it, but it went through an area I'm sure you know, Eureka Springs, Arkansas. And I actually have a postcard from Eureka Springs. It shows Jefferson Highway, Eureka Springs, Arkansas. Oh. And we have stuff into Arkansas. So it goes through really what was, you know, some pretty cool areas of Arkansas. And I think at some point in the future, we're going to probably have a conference there or some type of event in Arkansas, just because it's kind of fun, would be fun to do.
Okay, so Nancy, it's on.
Yeah.
It's on.
Cool.
Yeah, all right. So that's it. We're going to be back in Hot Springs in August. Well, actually, a town called Bismarck that has a gas station with a really good food, pizza, actually, believe it or not. And up the street is Tiffany's Bed and Breakfast. we're pet sitting.
Yeah.
B&B and taking care of their acreage. But they actually have an old mine on their property. And that's what Bismarck was this old mine. And so, listen, there's something about Arkansas that is magical. It's the natural state. It's beautiful. Our next guest on today's show is the Red River historian. And I know she knows about Arkansas. She knows about Louisiana, Texas. Very excited to have her join us. Her name is Robin Cole Jett, but we like to call her the Red River historian. You can go to her website, redriverhistorian.com. So welcome, Red River historian. Rover. I just wanted to how are you, Robin?
I'm fine. Thank you. And thank y'all for having me.
Oh, we're excited. You know, Nancy and I got sucked in on your website today, and
it's awesome.
Crazy. Man, you have really been avidly doing with this 10, 15, how many, 20 years, 20 plus years,
yes.
Documenting the history on the Red River, which is amazing.
That's correct. It's been 20 years, and I just keep adding to it. I just learn more every day when I do something. I just learn more. So it's a nice way to earn a living.
Yeah, so that's it.
Why did you choose this area? What made you go like, I'm doing this for the rest of my life?
That's a really good question. I grew up in Germany, and but I was born in Texas. And I once watched a movie on TV, and it was Bonnie and Clyde, that famous one from 1967. Mm-hmm.
Cool.
The one with Warren Beatty and Faye Dunaway, and they were so pretty people and all that stuff. And so when I came back to the States with my mother, I found out that they were from North Texas, which is where we lived when we came back from Germany. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I have to go find all these places where they were. And I just started collecting all this stuff until finally I decided to put it up on a, you know, I thought other people would like it too. And I started doing this before there were even blogs.
Oh, wow.
So I just kind of threw it up. Yeah. And so then, you know, it kind of just took a mind of its own. So it wasn't just Bonnie and Clyde. It was just ended up being all sorts of other places.
Wow. This is so cool, because I think there's something interesting about the Red River itself, because there was at one point like a logging jam, as I recall, mm-hmm. and you know, like Natchitoches. And by the way, Natchitoches.com is the website to go to, because, you know, I'm going to give them a shout out. They're the sponsor of today's show. And they're awesome. But like they have Cane River Lakefront, but it used to be the Red River. But then the Red River got jammed with logs at some point or something. And then it created these little oxbow lakey things. Was that in kind of your backyard too when that happened?
Yeah, the Great Raft of the Red River was actually a naturally forming log jam because of the elevation changes in the river. It just, you know, and the river itself is really silty. So whenever there's a flash flood, which happens a lot, whenever there's flooding, then lots of trees like cottonwoods and so forth, they just all fall in the river. And once, you know, they start jamming up in certain places. And it was a log jam for thousands and thousands, probably tens of thousands of years. And then it was removed in the 1830s. And again, in the 1870s, they used dynamite to remove it.
Oh, wow.
And but that first, log jam, it was the largest log jam ever. And it actually created, before it was removed, it was the ecologically one of the most unique places in the United States.
Huh.
And with lots of diversity and all that stuff when it comes to its botany and flora and fauna. Mm. And then it was removed with a federal infrastructure project in the 1830s by Captain Henry Shreve. That's what Shreveport's named after, Captain Henry Shreve.
Oh, okay.
And he removed that log jam. And once he did that, it straightened out the river in some places. Other places, it created this new log jam. And aptly named, especially for today's theme, an aptly named city named Jefferson, Texas, was formed after the second log jam emerged after the first log jam was removed. And but Natchitoches became kind of dry docked because it could not, the river, which had run right through Natchitoches, it suddenly moved a mile away from, east from Natchitoches. Yeah.
Wow.
It's amazing.
This is fascinating to me. But, you know, and I wanted to, you know, this is something Nancy and I were talking about because, you know, there's a lot of things changing with name changes and statues and history, and I don't want to get into all the politics, but, you know, I know people must be wondering about the name Jefferson Highway. Can you shed some light on that, Roger, in regards to how the highway got its name? Because I know it is named after Thomas Jefferson, and, you know, I look at it as like, hey, he, you know, got Lewis and Clark out in the field, right? So did they name, because it's kind of like this exploring thing.
It goes back into the days of the Good Roads Movement and all these people were wanting to get out and drive roads, and roads were bad. So they formed these associations and groups to create their own deal. And there was an economic benefit for being on these big routes. So I think, you know, just like today, everybody wants to have a good name or has something that, you know, rings people in people's heads. The Lincoln Highway was one of the first highways, and it went from New York to San Francisco. It was started a couple of years before the Jefferson. And a lot of, and so when they were looking at the Jefferson, the route it was, they picked up some other trails. I mean, for example, in Oklahoma, there was already a trail here called the Katy Trail, Katy Highway or Katy Trail, which was the Katy Railroad deal. And they used a lot of that routing. But when they were trying to figure out the name, it made sense because what? Almost all of this area or all this area is what is Jefferson, Thomas Jefferson's famous Louisiana Purchase. And so it made some sense to call it. We already had Lincoln. Everybody knew these names in America, Lincoln, Jefferson, you know, they're iconic names. So it was done to somewhat honor him, but that's really all it ever has been. It's just, it was just really a name. There are a couple of places that were supposed to have Jefferson markers. One of them was in my state of Oklahoma. They were supposed to have a bridge here, and they were supposed to build this grand monument, and they were looking for federal funds for it. And it was during World War I, so it never really happened. But that's how it got its name, really.
Wow. Okay, so now let's go to, like, the Red River, because here's this highway that goes from Winnipeg to New Orleans, and it's really cool. So everyone, if you go to jeffersonhighway.org, they've got a map, and then if you click on the actual title, you can go to the link that zooms in on the map. And that's why I send this to people, because you can zoom in, and that's how I realized we've been to some of the places. Like, you could zoom in on each town and everything. But the Red River, there's like the north and then the south, right? Not the movie or the book, the John Jakes book, but but the Red River, does it still connect? I feel like I have to follow. We followed the Arkansas River, but now I feel like I have to follow the Red River. So is it all connected now, Robin? Or is it separate?
Do you mean like connected as in with the Arkansas River?
Yeah, I mean, no. It's like the Red River still flow all the way from like Canada down into Louisiana.
Oh, no, I am so sorry. No, it does not. No. No, the Red River of the North, it does end up going into the Mississippi River as well, but that is a separate river. There are a lot of Red Rivers in the United States and in Canada and in Mexico. Yeah. So this is the Red River of the South. The largest of the rivers that empties and the southernmost rivers that empties into the Mississippi River. And it's the boundary of the Louisiana Purchase.
Oh, so that touches on the no man's land area too, doesn't it?
Oh, yes. Yes, it does. Oh, my goodness, yes.
Okay, yeah, and that's cool. So the no man's land that's a crazy thing. Yes. It's like this whole swath of land that, you know, there was no law and order for 2 years. Was it 2 or 3 years? Like, you know.
Longer than that, I believe.
Yeah, like nobody ruled it. Like, hey, cool, let's go.
The no man's land. What happened was, because no one really knew the boundaries, because Thomas Jefferson, the president that the Jefferson Highway is named after, he correctly believed that the Red River would not be the boundary of the Louisiana Purchase, that it actually would be the Sulphur River, because the Sulphur River empties into the Red River. And the Louisiana Purchase was all of the rivers that emptied into the Mississippi River. So all of the rivers that emptied in eventually into the Mississippi River was part of that whole land deal. But Spain, where Texas, of course, was Spanish, Spain was like, no, they want to only, you know, the Red River is the boundary for the Louisiana Purchase. So in that boundary dispute between that's where you get no man's land, you know, Red River, Sabine River and Sulphur River, all these rivers. Did they belong to Spain or did it belong to France and then to the United States afterwards? So And so anybody who wanted to escape the law, like Aaron Burr, the famous vice president, infamous vice president who killed Alexander Hamilton, he came down to Louisiana, to the area, and apparently wanted to make himself king of the area. That didn't work, but
here you go. Okay,
so this is somebody. It kind of reminds me of somebody.
I know. Roger, you said there's so much. You said somebody, like, we were looking at, you know, this show, what are we going to do with this podcast? And I'm going, dude, this is never ending. Like, and when he has this whole segment where, like, all the outlaws and, you know, the crazy things. And it's like, you know, Bonnie and Clyde, let's go That's to them. Because cool. This is something I think for kids to, I think, you know, it is sensational, right? When you look at the outlaws, and we have to remind people that they were outlaws and they killed people, right? So it's not, let's not romanticize them, but it is a way for kids to get excited about history. Because, you know, I think even, you know, like, how do we spark that interest? And I think by going on a road trip, and you don't have to do the whole highway in one, you know, shot, you can section it off. You know, when you have a little bit of naughtiness, like, you know, Bonnie and Clyde was a, beyond that, but it will spark the idea of like, wow, this is what people did back then, and maybe get them more involved. I don't know. I'm just saying.
It does.
Sell pride first.
You know, when I give tours in my area on certain things. I know Robin does. You know, some of the subjects like this will just draw people out. You know, I've given a tour here on the woman outlaw figure, Belle Starr, a couple of times. I mean, it will sell out in no time. And, you know, people learn about Belle Starr, but what they really learn is they learn about the whole history of the area and things that they never do. And it does fascinate a lot of people. And a lot of people don't have the right vision of a lot of things. And you're right. A lot, you know, for example, Bonnie and Clyde were pretty ruthless characters. Robin talked about the movie in 1967. You know, it had some very violent parts to it, but you know, it kind of romanticized them a little bit more than normal, shall we say. And you know, they're an interesting one to study. And when I look at the Jefferson Highway route today, and I've been looking at it more and more from this perspective, because law enforcement history is something I've studied in Oklahoma since 25 years. And I'm amazed at the amount of the characters from the outlaw and the lawman perspective there on this route. I don't know that you could find another route in America that would have it. When you look at all the things with Jesse James, with all the activity that happened here in Indian Territory with Judge Parker, and you know, all the amazing stories that have happened here, the Western history that goes is amazing. And then you go up into the Depression era, where you got Bonnie and Clyde, you've got unbelievable stuff like the Kansas City Massacre that occurred.
That's right. Pretty Boy Floyd. That's right.
Pretty Boy Floyd.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Go up in Minnesota. St. Paul was on the route. It was known as one of the all kind of gangster activity, you know, happened in that town. Just unbelievable amount. The Barker Carpus gang and some of the other characters that happened in there. Kansas City was a wide open town here. So it is, and of course we can't forget New Orleans. But you know, it's
and the pirates is, John Lafitte.
It's just so much of that is on the route that it's a tour, and it could be a tour in itself. And Robin has written a book on specifically on Bonnie and Clyde tour sites.
Tell us about that. And by the way, I want to get to that, but have you seen, I think it was called The Highwayman.
Yes.
That was that was like crazy. That was a crazy movie. Like, you sat up for that and talk about blood and gore. Holy cow.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, one thing on that movie that really got me as I was watching it, they were in Oklahoma in one of the scenes. And I guess, you know, I don't know, I guess some of those guys really do their research. Because as I was watching it, there was a Jefferson Highway painted pole on the deal. And I was thinking, where they got it, man.
That's cool. Awesome. That's cool. We're going to have to do movie history on the Jefferson Highway. That's we have to do the movie history of the Jefferson Highway for sure.
Really, because all those criminals all had movies made about them.
They did. Yes. A lot of them did, yeah.
Yeah, this is exciting. We also have our artist friend who's an art historian, Victoria Chick, and she's on our show every third Saturday. Got to get it right. And she's looking up weird art things along the highway. We have all kinds of things planned. It's great. It's exciting. But let's go over to your books, because Robin, you've, how many books have you written? Because it's a lot.
Six.
Oh. I'm on there now. And then you wrote traveling history with Bonnie and Clyde, and I think that is such an appropriate title, because I mean, people look at Nancy and I weird because we travel full time. They're like, "What do you mean you don't have a home?" I'm like, "We have a storage unit," but but I think of, well, and they shacked up in different places. They kind of had homes and moved around, but they were travelers, right? We're not Bonnie and Clyde, everybody. We're nice. But
yeah,
they did travel.
They were on the lam. Yeah. Y'all aren't on the run, but they were.
No.
Clyde Barrow never owned a car. He always stole them. And every place, yeah, I mean, that's one thing. It's always funny to say he never bought a car. He just simply stole them out of people's driveways and other places like that.
Well, he did look for certain types of cars. Right?
Yes, he did. He liked the V8 if he could get them. That's the other thing about Clyde Barrow. You know, we think of them they were much more powerful than cars are today, but cars are more safer than they are. He was a young guy. He was a young punk, you know, back then. He didn't, you know, worry about the old timey stuff. Everything that he touched was new. So one of the ways that he was able to evade the law enforcement was, first of all, he would steal guns from the National Guard armories. I mean, he would use military style weapons. Then the other thing is he would always get, you know, the bestest and fastest cars that he could steal so that he could run away from the laws. He also would he stole a police radio so he could listen in on what they were talking, because back then they didn't have private channels. And then as soon as he left the town after he robbed it, he would cut the phone line so they couldn't communicate with other people.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So he was very modern, even though now we look at it and like, oh my goodness, that's been 80 years now, you know, 80, something like that. And it's, you know, old fashioned, but it's not. He was very modern for his time.
What are some of the places that you could say when people travel the Jefferson Highway, they should, you know, stop and, you know, for them to know where they were, you know what I mean? First off, people should get your book. Let's start there. So everybody can go to redriverhistorian.com. I love to plug. That's my middle name, Lisa Plugger Smith. But anyway,
okay.
I know I didn't, that did not sound good.
No, it doesn't.
But it does not sound good at all. But when it comes to Bonnie and Clyde, because I mean, movies have been made, you know, but your book, this is really interesting reading just the story on your website. We're doing an interview so I can talk to you, but I'm all stuck in on your website again. But, what are some of the places where are some of the places people should stop to get some of that?
Well, in Oklahoma, there's Stringtown, which is where Clyde Barrow and his friend Raymond Hamilton, and no one's sure exactly who was the one who shot the person, but they killed a deputy during a dance hall meeting. And it's along US 69, which is the old Jefferson Highway. And the dance hall doesn't exist anymore, of course, but there is a marker along 69. Now, you have to be very careful if you go to that marker, because people speed on that road and there are no shoulders. So it's kind of a dangerous road even to this day. It's like, you know, it hasn't been very modernized on that part. So you have to kind of go in the back roads, and all the back roads are you know, rutted and sandy. Oh. But you go over there and you can see the marker where he killed the deputy sheriff's officer. Wow. So that's a Clyde, that's a Bonnie and Clyde site. There's really a Clyde site because at that time Bonnie was in jail.
Stringtown robbery. Stringtown, by the way, is a very small community today, but they are embracing the Jefferson Highway like no other small community.
Really good.
They just had a jogging on the Jefferson Run. They're trying to rework a house there, and they're going to put part of that history of this event in that house museum that they're working on. And they are really a gung-ho group. I've met a lot of different groups over time, and they are really into doing things. And they're going to be our we got representatives for those coming to our conference this year. But yeah, it's we expect that we will probably also put a marker to that event. And also, not very far away from there, in a museum just north of Atoka, Oklahoma, which is not too far away, they have a exhibit to that lawman there, and some pictures that I've never seen anywhere that are in that exhibit. So, and it's right on the Jefferson Highway route.
So. Wow. Wow. So this, that's, you know, it's, so you can go to where, I mean, it's like, oh, so-and-so was killed here. That's trippy to go just stand there, you know, when you go to places like that. Mm-hmm. And it's cool that the town is embracing the history, you know.
I think, well, you know, that lawman, we today everybody hears about that Bonnie and Clyde and Stringtown, and they see the marker and they think about the Bonnie and Clyde. What they don't know about is the lawman and the family he had and all the things that were taken from him. And there's another example of that up in Commerce, even though that's part of what that area is shared by the Jefferson Highway and Route 66 in that area. The Cal Campbell killing in Commerce is another one I'm sure Robin can talk about too.
Wow.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, that was their very last known murder that they did after they killed the two police officers in Grapevine. And they were on the run again, and things were not going well for them. And they in cold blood killed Constable Cal Campbell.
Right.
And it was horrific. What and then the two police officers right before that, they were over in Grapevine, Texas, and that was horrific as well. I mean, all the murders were horrific because the people that they killed tended to be rural people. They didn't have a lot of, some of them were, simply farmers who were, just got an extra job on the side because during the Great Depression, you needed to make money somehow.
Mm-hmm.
And so they became deputy sheriff officers and they used their own hunting rifles. They didn't
have
military style grade weapons. Yeah.
Wow.
And that's the reason when they went out to, robbery and stuff like that, they tended to go to the small towns because they knew that the cops, there weren't any cops. It was mainly sheriff's officers and they weren't very well armed.
Campbell was he was a constable, but he was not a professional policeman at all.
No.
And, but an interesting thing, I don't even know if Robin knows, I ran across the other day on a story and I got to talk to this with the mayor of Commerce, Oklahoma recently. I ran into stories about Cal Campbell, just a few years before his untimely death there. He was one of the principal proponents of keeping the Jefferson Highway route in their community, dragging and keeping the road up in their area. Was a big proponent of the Jefferson Highway in the 20s before that happened. And several years ago, I got to be at an event with his family. He's buried right on the Jefferson Highway and also Route 66 route, just north of Miami, Oklahoma, in the cemetery there. I mean, you can almost see the grave from the roadway there. So it's a place to, for us diehards that like doing these type of things, it's, to pay him a little honor and, visit his grave.
Yeah.
And you can almost go to the actual site of where he was killed if you know what you're doing, which is just probably within a stone's throw off the Jefferson Highway route.
Wow. And this is something I think, like we've been following the Pony Express trail and going to the markers, and it's not easy. And this is why I think it's so important about, the Jefferson Highway being, revived, everyone working together, because, there's people who want to do things. And then sometimes you can get in trouble. You step on property you shouldn't. I mean, even on the Pony Express, some of it's on people's farmland.
It seems definitely.
You need to get permission and there's ways to do it. But don't just drive onto someone's land. You'll get shot, man. I'm telling you.
Yeah,
they have
you're
shotguns
right.
on those farms. So it's
I've been there before, too.
Yeah,
I know.
He's like, get off my land.
We get ourselves in trouble all the time.
I bet you do.
Yeah, that's why we don't have, people keep going, why don't you have an RV? I'm like, because we see a road and we go down it and we shouldn't have. Just ask the mechanic who just charged me a gazillion dollars for the car. But this is the thing. When you have an association come together and communities start to get with this program, you know, get with the program, everybody. This is so cool because you can start putting markers up. You can start having this conversation in the communities so that it is safe and, you know, to go here, like make it easier to go see that one marker like you're talking about, Robin. Mm-hmm. And maybe you can't, I don't know, but you know what I mean? You can't, maybe they can't make it safer or not, but at least put out the information like, hey, you know, be careful or not. But it's something that people can follow and do. And like for kids, this is like a treasure hunt that is so cool.
Yeah.
And the community is getting, I just keep going to the kids because it's like, come on, let's have some fun ways of learning nature and history and communities and geography. But with all these communities working together to do this, these places, a lot of times things will die off if it isn't a greater project.
Agree, you know,
yeah. You know, museums don't get the visitors, and then the collections end up in the basement, you know. And
a lot, everyone in these communities, if you really search, I don't, you know, I've yet to find one that doesn't have some interesting story to tell. Mm. And you're right, when you can group all these things together in a trip, you may not necessarily travel to this one point for this, you might for something you're interested in, but. As you're going along these routes, it's an adventure every day. And you discover things like this that you had no idea about. And it takes you on a path of researching or thinking about something else. And it's just never ending. And you're right about kids because, you know, as I told you before in conversations, you know, my son was 16 years old. We actually gave him one of his driving lessons while he was on the Jefferson Highway.
Perfect.
When he was learning, he was just learning how to drive. And we went on a trip with him, and you know, he wasn't really sure or very excited about going on that trip. But by the time he finished the trip, I think he would agree it was one of the best trips we ever did because it was an adventure. Mm. Every day to what we were going to discover, where we were going to stay that night, what historic place we were going to stay. And then, you know, my son knows me fairly well. He knows I like history stuff, but I think it really ingrained in him. And I think that's, you're right. Getting him out on the route, getting him driving the route, at any age, but I think especially with, you know, young teenagers, middle schoolers and up, it really can make a big difference.
You know,
it's real. They can see it's actually real. Otherwise, it's just something you read in a book or something that a teacher told you, something like that. But if you can get right out to where things happened, you know, it makes a big difference.
Well, Robin, I was going to say, because you do these, you're a tour guide. You take people out, right?
Yes, yes. Cool. Yeah, I think that understanding history, you know, you can just go to a place and read a marker and then you're done. But if you understand how history is connected, that's why regional history is so important. We tend to look at things in a theme. And sometimes the theme is, you know, like Civil War history and that kind of thing. And then it's all over the place because Civil War was all over the place. Revolutionary War, all over the place.
Yeah.
Well, in certain areas. But the regional history, you don't really understand how Missouri and Oklahoma are connected until you literally go to these places along the Jefferson Highway. Mm-hmm. I was over there in that area where Oklahoma and Kansas and Missouri meet just not even a year ago. Over by Baxter Springs and Commerce and Joplin. And Joplin is interesting. First of all, it's a Bonnie and Clyde site. But the other thing that's interesting is that when you're driving up the on there, you can literally see where that F5 tornado did all that damage. So you can see you have a real image of what that devastation could look like. Now, people are, of course, rebuilding. But, I mean, it's a visceral thing to see that. And then as you keep going up, you go to some other Bonnie and Clyde sites in Missouri, which are, and also cattle trail sites. I mean, the Jefferson Highway mirrors the cattle trails.
So and, like Dodge City's too far from that then, right?
Yeah, Dodge City's too far, but it went to Baxter Springs, and it went, you know, of course it connects to Kansas City, which is a big, you know, cattle place, which is a big stockyard place. But it was actually what they call the Sedalia or Shawnee Trail. And that's the one that goes through Oklahoma. It was one of the very first commercial cattle trails that went on land in the United States. But, you know, if you went further up from Joplin, you go on 69 on Jefferson Highway, you go to all these abandoned mining towns. You were talking about a mining town earlier. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they did Galena mining there. Yeah. Was it Galena?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Pitcher. Yeah, it's Pitcher, Oklahoma. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. And these places are, and they're super fun sites. I mean, you literally go to these places, and they're super fun sites, meaning that they have to be cleaned up, but people still live there because they can't go anywhere else. And it's amazing.
It's
fascinating because this is kind of the trails of history, right? So, like, I know Natchitoches is part of the El Camino de las Tejas National Historic Trail, which was an old royal road. And so you've got Spanish, you've got Indians using the road. You know, Native Americans, like in there's the swales out by Nacogdoches between. Oh, I'll remember it soon. But I mean, you can see where the tunnels were, you know, and how things changed in regards to like how buffalo was run, mm-hmm. you know, all these. It's just you've just got to go. You know, this is what I'm just going to say. You have to go because you've got indigenous people. Heritage as well throughout this region. I mean, Oklahoma, I mean, wow. And it's...
Oh, but the Jefferson Highway in Louisiana has some of the oldest indigenous sites, meaning, you know, original Native American sites in the United States. They have some of the oldest ones. They have over 700 mound sites, and it's just, it's incredible.
That's a lot.
We went to a mound in Arkansas, but now that's outside of Hot Springs. Toltec mounds. And yeah, that's, but you know, I think, you know, we talked about this before, Roger, it's like the trail is like your guide and then you can veer off, you know, an hour or two and explore these things, you know, because if we look at all these layers of history, it's about human movement, human settlement, homesteading, crime, you know, music, the arts. I mean, we can go into all of that. The food, let's not even start there. Oh my gosh. I mean, you got Kansas City. Are you kidding me? You got Louisiana, like, hello, Texas. I mean, come on. So yeah, it's
multifaceted. And it, like it's just part of the culture on the route is amazing. You know, a lot of the other historic highway routes go east-west. And, you know, I understand the uniqueness of the north-south element here is quite much. When you go all the way to, you know, Winnipeg and the culture that's up in northern Minnesota, and you meander all the way down through Iowa, and then you get into, you know, the Native American history in Oklahoma and all the things that are here, and then then obviously you get into eastern Texas, especially in Louisiana, the Cajun areas and whatever. It's something every day. It just kind of changes as you're going, and then you're discovering things that are part of America, but they're new to you, and it's really really makes for a good trip.
It does. I want to go back to the cattle trails because I know that this is going to probably be areas that are not part of the trail, but it's a connection. So when we talk about cattle trails, because that's what I was saying about El Camino de las Tejas, I know that they ran cattle. Even the Santa Fe trails got to have crossed through this, right? Mm-hmm. Joplin, Missouri is like the hotbed of every trail going off. You know, it's like Pony Express. Everybody bailed Joplin. What was going on?
Like, well, we have the Pony Express Museum is right on the route in St. Joseph. That was part of our conference one year. It's really a cool place to go. And and Olathe, Kansas has a Santa Fe Trail museum marker there too. That's a big thing to see right
but
on the route.
They ran cattle. So they were doing the cattle from what, west to east and back. And then salespeople were going back and forth on like the Santa Fe Trail. But this cattle route, so when we talk about cattle trails, this cattle route, because we were in, and Robin, like, you know, Texas a little bit, you know, a lot, right? You're from there, but we went in Denton County. I know we've been to Denton. I know we have been there. In fact, I think I photographed this. I have to send you the photo. I don't know. There's only another person I know that's photographing these markers in the towns outside courthouses. And it's like a old highway marker. But like, I'm going to have to send it to you guys. I don't know what I'm talking about, but I was like, I've never seen anything like these giant white pillars, like one big white one, right? Outside a courthouse. And it was like this old highway marker style, like from years ago. Like, and there's only maybe 10 left in the state or something. And anyway, but anyhow.
The Ozark Trail markers.
I think
you're
right.
Talking about a trail marker for the cattle trail?
I don't know. But it's just this giant white thing. I'll send you a photo because I had to Google it. And the only thing I found was some guy on Flickr doing the same thing. He's like, please, people find these. They're going away.
So one of the early highways was called the Ozark. Trail.
That sounds familiar.
The
obelisk.
And they had these obelisks. And there's a couple in Oklahoma that remain. But there was one that I've got a lot of pictures on, is now gone, in a little community, not even really a community, it's just a crossing called Pyramid Corner north of Veneta, Oklahoma. And it had Jefferson Highway on one side and it had Ozark Trail on the other when they crossed. We'd love to be able to try to recreate that sometime in the future, but the Ozark Trail was kind of a strange route. It routed around a lot of different ways, so it's it was kind of a commercial endeavor. I think the people would say they would want the highway in there and give them a fee so they'd route it their direction. So some of that went on, but that's probably what you're talking. Yes.
Wow. But this is the thing. So, you know, I look at all the Instagrammers out there. They go take photos, you know, hey, I found this on that route. But I didn't know what it was, but I knew it was something special. I was like, I have to take this photo. I photograph courthouses too. That's a whole other history thing we do. And
love that. Love that.
I don't know why. It's cool. Well, we have a whole Law and Order thing going.
One of my favorites in Texas, Sulphur Springs, Texas. Have you seen that courthouse?
We were just in Sulphur Springs. Yeah. We were just there.
One of my favorite courthouses.
Beautiful.
We didn't see the courthouse. We went to the POW camp.
Well, you should have gone down to the courthouse.
Well, apparently.
And you should have used the public restroom there.
Oh, well. Listen, we could do a whole thing on bathrooms across
the country. It is a glass bathroom that you see. No where you can see out. Nobody can see in, but you can see out.
No way. Are you kidding me? I had no idea.
It's right on the square.
Oh my gosh.
Beautiful courthouse. It is just unbelievable. And then right across in this town square is this glass enclosure. And you get in and you think, okay, this is just a regular bathroom. And then you say, oh, wait a minute, I can see all around me. All these people are.
No way. This is the best history show ever. So I'm going back to Robin. I'm going back to the cattle trails. So when we were in Dodge City, we learned about the cattle trail and like there was this giant, you know, big old bull statue. And obviously Dodge City is like big on beef. And then of course, Santa Fe Trail and the fort, and we did all this stuff and then went down to Bandera, Texas. And this is like the cowboy capital. And literally bunches of cowboys drove by. Nancy and I went. And we were photographing the courthouse in Bandera because there's a whole story about the architect who did, like, there's a sister courthouse in Kentucky, Lexington, I think it is. Mm-hmm. And so we're like, we got to do the courthouse. And here comes all these cowboys, like real cowboys. Like, you know, they're real. Listen, it's a big deal. I went to their town square and photographed a sculpture. I think it was a Remington too. And I mean, it was, they were just talking about this cattle trail, which I didn't really know about how the cattle was being moved. Like all the way, am I right on this, Robin, that it went all the way up or down between Canada and Texas? Like, I mean, all the way up and down, or am I getting
well,
that part?
You're from Bandera over to Dodge City, and it's really, it started south. So it starts in northern Mexico and then into southern Texas. And they brought a longhorn with them along this cattle trail. It's called the Western Cattle Trail because it was west of the Chisholm Trail. And then the Chisholm Trail is west of the Shawnee Trail. And often they were just simply in the literature of the day, they were just called the Eastern Trail or the Western Trail because it depended on where you were viewing from, which way it was. But they brought the cattle, they used north, and they went up to Dodge City. But in between, they would sell the cattle to ranchers, specifically, you know, Native American ranchers, right. You know, the Chickasaw Nation and so forth. And then they would go further north from Dodge City and go up to Wyoming sometimes and the Montana and cattle, their ranges, the big ranches that were there.
Oh, okay.
And Dodge City Trail, the Western Trail, is the last of the cattle drives.
So did any of this touch the highway?
Mostly the
Shawnee Trail.
Later, a lot commonly known as the Texas Road, you know, the road to Texas.
It was an immigrant trail too. People were leaving, coming into Texas because they, you know, especially, you know, 1830s and, you know, they believed that Texas was the promised land because they were running away from the United States because the United States was in a Great Depression. So they come to Texas and they realized, oh my gosh, Texas isn't all that great either.
that's one of the interesting things about the route in Oklahoma, especially because you're a stone's throw away from the Shawnee Trail or the Texas Road. Mm-hmm. And after in 1870, in the 1870s, the first railroad ever to come through Indian Territory was the Katy Railroad. They won a contest to do it. And what did they use? They used mostly the routing of the original Shawnee, so it's almost within distance of that. And then the Jefferson Highway used a lot of its routing, very similar to the Katy Railroad. So they're all three, you know, almost all through Oklahoma, they're all there. So you get all that time period of history. You get the old cattle drive Western history. You've got the the more frontier history of the railroads coming in. Wow. And then you've got the modern thing of the automobile. It's all within just right next to each other.
Wow.
Yeah, and in Oklahoma, that trail, I'm sorry. That trail that you're talking about, you know, with 69 or Jefferson Road, I mean, that was the Butterfield Overland Stagecoach.
That was the state in certain areas in the South. You're right. Yeah. Right.
Dude, don't even get me started. It's true because it goes from Joplin. No, because I've been following there's like, we've been following all these trails, but you just added a whole bunch more now, like, this is why we don't have a home, because it's really fascinating about how these trails, the Butterfield, like, that's a whole,
huge.
Now we're going to have to do a whole thing on it. See, now, so today's show is all about historic trails. Who knew? But, you know, so did the Oregon Trail go through any of this? It had to. California Overland Trail had to because of Joplin, right? So Oregon Trail at all, I bet you it did at some point because it kind of touches Santa Fe at times. And,
well, most of these trails would have been up north of us in our with our deal. But, you know, one of the things we have to talk about, since we got an Oklahoman and a Texan on this deal, we've had in our history, our University of Texas and Oklahoma don't like each other. We call that the Red River War. Okay. But there actually was a real Red River War that touches on the history of the Jefferson Highway in its latter days. And Robin discovered something a few years ago that I had no idea about, where we had a bridge war between Oklahoma and Texas. And it is a fascinating story about how the National Guard was called out between these two states to get this free bridge. the governor of Oklahoma was down there. But on one of the pictures that Robin showed me was a Jefferson Highway painted emblem on it. So
wow. That's right. Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah, the Jefferson Highway, you know, to get across the Red River, it was always, you know, toll bridges or ferries. But this was one of the oldest toll bridges across the Red River. It was the Colbert Bridge. And then the United States government during the Great Depression, you know, they decided that, you know, with WPA funds and so forth, they built a free bridge. Actually, it wasn't WPA funds yet. It was the government funds. They built a free bridge. And Texas, you know, they had a contract with the toll bridge company. And so they put an injunction against opening the free bridge. And the Texas Rangers came out to stop traffic on the free bridge. And that's when Alfalfa Bill Murray, the governor of Oklahoma, he brings the National Guard out and says, we are going to destroy the approach to the toll bridge so that people can use the free bridge.
Can you imagine this happening today? Oh,
dude!
You know, it was such a publicity stunt. I tell you, it really was a publicity stunt because Alfalfa Bill Murray wanted to fashion himself as a populist and, you know, just I'm for the people. And, you know, that he would wear all white and, you know, come inspected. I mean, he couldn't do anything. Wow. So it was actually reported all over the world.
Oh, yeah.
If you go on. Big, yeah. Big I mean, in Europe and all that, everybody was talking about the potential bridge war.
Oh my God, this is crazy. And you think about the Texas Rangers too, right? And then then my mind goes to Teddy Roosevelt, right? So Teddy had to be part of the Jefferson Highway. There's got to be Teddy Roosevelt sites, places, right? There's got to be.
There are things that touches history, mostly with the Rough Riders.
The Rough Riders, not the Rangers. That's right.
Yeah, that's Riders. Really where I know a little bit about, because
this is why you guys are on the show.
You know, a lot of the Rough Riders were recruited where 1898, the military wasn't very strong in the country. Roosevelt was one of the ones trying to push us into the war. And one of the things that they looked at was, well, let's go out to Oklahoma, which was Indian Territory, or Oklahoma Territory, and New Mexico and Texas. Let's recruit those guys know how to ride. They know how to shoot guns out there.
Let's go
get them. And they did. And they went to a lot of these communities, including my own. I've got some wonderful pictures of that. And Roosevelt, because of that, kind of had ties to them. So a lot of times on these Spanish-American war reunions for years after, he would come to them, or he would be on the train along the routes, you know, and waving at the you know people. So has a little bit of a touching to him, but most of it has to do with that.
Wow.
Well, and speaking of presidents along the Jefferson Highway, Dwight Eisenhower was born along the Jefferson Highway.
No.
I thought I'd mention that. Yes, he was.
No, we've been doing a whole bunch about him and talk about the man of highways. He is Mr. Interstate, right?
Yeah.
So we went to his farm near Gettysburg. Well, right outside Gettysburg. But where was he born?
He was born in Denison, Texas, in Grayson County.
And they have a nice museum there.
I worked there. I was actually the educator there for a while. And I did a whole display on the Jefferson Highway and the Good Roads Movement and Dwight Eisenhower, how he grew up into a man who loves the interstate.
We have two presidents born on the highway. The other one is Harry Truman.
Nancy's Lamar. Favorite.
Yeah.
Okay. Nancy, you gotta go. We gotta go to his birthplace. This is so cool, isn't it? When you think about, there's just so many layers. Like you know, when Nancy and I are looking, Nancy's like, "Well, we'll never be done." You know, it is. But I love that all these other trails are connected, whether they're highways or the Pony Express. I'm gonna have to go and relook at maps and. Relook at, is it the Rangers or the Rough Riders? Get it straight. But, you know, but it's a, no, but I, but that's the thing. If you're, when you're distant from something, you forget, you know, so it's like you've got to be there, and that's part of going on the trail. So you could follow the trail by your interest. You could follow the trail
that's right.
just for a joyride. Mm-hmm. But You know, there's just so much going on. And Robin, it has been a true pleasure having you join us on the show. Please come back. We're going to have to meet you when we get out there. We're coming to the swampy side. You know, we're coming out there.
We'll have to meet you. Let me know, and I'll love to meet you.
Yeah, cool. We got to meet Roger when we get up into his Oklahoma side of the world. And, we're going to try and meet everyone we can. But yeah, absolutely. This is exciting.
It is exciting.
Before you both go, I'm going to go back to food.
Uh-oh.
So if you could go eat one thing that touches on cultural history, right, of the trail, what is one item that you would eat so people could understand, like, this is not what you get from, you know, your regular hometown, you know what I mean? This is your hometowns, right?
Well, I got two.
Anywhere on the trail.
I got two, oh. and they're both in Louisiana, so it's kind of strange for me.
But, well, I like that. Okay, what are they?
Well, one of them is in Natchitoches.
And, meat pie.
You know, the meat pies, you know, when I first went there and had that, yeah. I said, really? Now it's like, if I go to the Natchitoches or that area, I've got to just go there. And it's just kind of a cultural regional thing, you know, in that little area, which is kind of cool to me.
And they're good.
The other one is kind of strange. I think it's a personal deal. One of my good friends on the Jefferson Highway was former President Glenn Smith. And we were going down to that area one day, and he said, we got to stop by this place in Shreveport that has these, that's famous for their strawberry pies.
Oh, wow.
And I said, okay, that sounds fine. Well, I've gone there about four times since then.
I love this.
And
strawberry pie.
His name is Strawns, Strawns. Has been there forever. And it's just a little bit off the route in Shreveport. But last summer, I was coming back from Mississippi, and I knew they would be closing at 2 o'clock, but I made a mad dash across the state to get there in time to get my strawberry pie.
He wants his strawberry. Well, you know, I got to go back to Natchitoches, because Natchitoches, you know, Lazions is like, you know, famous.
Lazions, right.
We've been there. Nancy has a soft thing about the grits there. She's into the grits.
Cheese grits.
Mm. The cheese grits. Like, yeah. Nancy is just like, I could do more, but can't, you know. But the French Market Express, and I want to make sure I get the name straight and Googled it. And but they have they're famous for yam cakes, which we have not tried yet, Nancy. We're going to have to do that next time we go. But okay. We went, there's like a, you know, the highway that goes by, and we were on our way to Dallas, and we pulled in. I'm like, we got to go to the French Market Express. We love it because you could stay in the hotels are all around there. And you can get your wine, you can get your meat pies, and you can get any kind of fried food you ever wanted to eat. And no, it's so good. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is like heaven. But anyway, just on Google now, Nancy, do you know they put their gas prices on there right now? And right now it is $2.15.
Are you kidding me?
Whoa. No, that's what I just see right now.
I mean,
right now, I'm just talking about, dude. I have to bring this up. Oh, no, that was November 2019. I can't say it.
You must be off.
Everybody starts driving there.
Well, what is gas prices for you guys? This is something to talk about, because I want people to know, like, okay, we can road trip. Everyone's worried about gas, but you could do one portion at a time, right? So you don't have to do it all. But what's gas prices like for you in Oklahoma, just for people to know?
It's about $3.90, somewhere $3.89, something like that around here.
Oh, wow. That
beats
that is amazing.
California.
That beats what we're doing now. Listen.
Yeah.
No, we're at $5 where we are right now. What about
Texas is at $4.39. Texas is about $4.39. Today I saw $4.59. And I had a heart attack. I'm like, oh, no. Not good.
That's a difference. Yeah. Holy cow, it really needs to stop. So basically we need to just, you know, go to a place. Here's the thing, go to your destination and just hang out in that place and do all the stuff you can. I mean, that's so, you know, because I know the American road trip was coming back, you know, especially after COVID. Well, COVID's still there, but whatever. It's there, but the gas price thing is, you know, scary. But you don't need to do the whole trail. You can go to one destination and look up all these amazing places that you can go visit, the museums, the parks, the restaurants, all of that, and dig into some of the history, because it, you know, once you do it, you'll go down rabbit holes. It's cool. Right? We all like rabbit holes and it's fun. So all I'm saying is don't let the gas prices stop you if you can, you know, whatever you can do on that, because
it'll come down,
but you guys are far better than some other areas. I'm just saying. So that's really good. But Robin, what is your munchies? What are you eating?
Well, I like the meat pies, of course, but I was also thinking about over now. It's not actually on the Jefferson Highway. It's a little farther to the west, but in Oklahoma, they have onion burgers, which is a Depression era thing. What they did was they used, meat, but they halved it and then added onions to the meat mixture so that they could stretch it during the Great Depression. And they still do those burgers in the smaller towns in southern Oklahoma. So I like that. And then, of course, you know, if you're in Texas, you got to have barbecue and a good brisket with the burnt ends. That's what you want.
Oh, there you go.
Ooh, the burnt. Ooh. Yeah. Ooh, Grayson's barbecue outside of Natchitoches.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just saying. It's good. It's good. Oh, Roger, you just sent me a photo of the pie.
I did.
Why did you do that? Why did you do that? That's cruel. Oh my God. Like, that's piled high. Like,
it's an ice box. It's an ice box pie. That's good.
Oh my God. Is that all whipped cream? Like, just boom.
It's good.
It's like a volcano.
They've been serving them, I think, there since the 1940s or maybe even earlier than that. So
that's cool.
Wow, you guys, this is amazing. What a great conversation.
Oh, and one more thing.
Ooh.
One more thing just to add about it. Off of the Jefferson Highway in Mansoura, Louisiana, is every May, I forget exactly which day in May, they have a cochon au lait festival, and that's suckling pig. They literally have an entire fairground full of suckling pigs being roasted.
Oh, wow.
And they make, it's incredible. They've been doing this for decades. And it's back on because during COVID it had to stop, but it's back on again. And it's amazing. And it's right off the Jefferson Highway. It's in Mansoura, close to Marksville, Louisiana.
Oh, wow. Marksville. Okay. Hey, is Mansfield on it, on the trail? Mansfield has to be.
Yes.
Talk about Civil War history, right? That's,
Yes.
That's deep history. Okay. Well, one day we'll have to just do the Civil War show. Oh, Robin, before you go. I've been meaning to ask this because we were talking about the Red River, right? Mm-hmm. When we were in Alexandria, Louisiana, and we went on our first kayaking adventure down a bayou in Alexandria by a historic Tyrone plantation. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if she's a bed and breakfast anymore, but it was fun. But while we were there, we heard about history with Sherman and all kinds of stuff that was going on at the plantation. But we also learned that am I right that there was like cricket being played or baseball or something between the North and the South, or is it the British? Somebody was playing a game along the Red River. Was it cricket? Do you know what I'm talking about?
I'm so sorry. I haven't heard one.
No, I don't know. I don't know what I'm talking about.
We were told by the lady who ran the bed and breakfast.
Yeah, Red River cricket.
And she also said like the.
No, this is I'm even googling it, and it's weird.
With General Grant was downstairs in the basement. No, Sherman was upstairs. Grant was downstairs.
No,
and they hid Grant with the donkey downstairs.
We have to re-listen to the interview. We're getting our stuff messed up. All right. Next time you come on, I'll figure it out. Both of us will figure out what we're talking about.
But Alexandria is a Jefferson Highway town, so it is.
It is Alexandria.
Oh yeah, wow. And the Bentley Hotel is amazing there. The if you have never been to the Bentley Hotel in Alexandria, you need to go. It's an unbelievable place.
Wow. No, we went to the airport's pretty cool. The international airport.
I mean, it was
fighter jets.
It was built by a guy that was a timber baron, and he came into Alexandria and they tried to check into hotel, and I guess he kind of looked rough. He'd been out in the field all day, and and they wouldn't check him in. And he said, well, heck, I'm just going to build my own hotel. And boy, did he. That, and it has a wonderful history. It has a lot of military history to it. That's probably a, probably for a different show in the future, but it is really a cool place.
Okay, wow. So there was a flagship called the Cricket during that was there in Springfield Landing, Louisiana. Mm-hmm. So that's just a thing. But there is some. I have to go figure it out. But there was something, and I don't know what I'm talking about. But I just always thought it was the Red River Campaign. No, that's not it, is it?
Well, the Red River Campaign was 1860s, but that didn't have anything to do with Sherman or Grant. However, no. Sherman was a university president in Louisiana before the war.
Okay, so it was Sherman. It wasn't Grant. Yeah. Sherman, that's right. He was the one that helped found the university.
Did he have
right.
a donkey?
So, mm-hmm. No, they probably. Kept him downstairs in the plantation. Tyrone Plantation. He was in the downstairs of the home. And then mm-hmm. the restaurants upstairs, they like kind of held him there. And it's crazy because he had to stay in there like sheltered. And you know, it's a crazy story. I'll have to dig up the record for that and I'll send it to you because it's.
Yeah, because it's a weird story.
Yeah. And then one time we need to do the ghost towns because you did a whole book on that. Yeah. And mm-hmm. and then we could talk about ghosts too. <Yeah. laughs> Okay. All right. We know what we're doing for October, right, Roger? Ghosts.
That's well, I also give ghost tours. So.
Oh no way! And we went on a ghost tour in Gladewater with Memory, who runs the Manor, Walker Manor Bed and Breakfast. She does ghost tours, and that's where we were for Halloween. Was it last year or the year before? I can't. Yeah, but we went on a ghost tour there, and we were there for Halloween. And things
I've been
do
giving
go
ghost tours for 20 years almost.
Oh, cool.
Wow, this is cool. Awesome. Cool. Well, thank you all for joining us. Everyone, go connect with Robin. Her website is Robin Cole Jett. Go to redriverhistorian.com. She gives presentations. She's got awesome books. She gives tours, right? So do people mm-hmm. just call you up and say, hey, we're coming to town. Will you take us on a tour?
Yeah, they can call me up or they can email me and I respond and we'll just have a good time.
do tours,
I meet fantastic friends that way.
And so all through the Red River in the southern part, right? Louisiana and East Texas. That's
most
the main...
of the time it's, you know, something like if they wanted to go Bonnie and Clyde or something like that because it's for say local, but I do all sorts of things. I do ghost town tours if people want. That's a whole day thing. But I also do a presidential or actually a political tour of North Texas. And wow. Which that sounds really boring. now that I'm thinking about it, but I also do like, you know, just anything they want. I mean, you know, kind of like a tour guide, like Rick Steves does tour guides in Europe. I envision that the United States will also have tour guides about certain areas where people.
Wait, I bet she'd give you a Jefferson Highway tour if you want.
We need. Yeah, we're just.
Yeah,
like,
I would.
Nudge, nudge. Would. Well, we'll get together when we get out there again. Let's get together. But everyone, redriverhistorian.com is the website. Again, the Jefferson Highway is jeffersonhighway.org. The conference is about to happen in a few days. So it's June 1st through 4th. And that is, tell us a little bit. It's in Pittsburgh, Kansas. But there's a community day, right, Roger, that people
yes.
can go.
Yes, Saturday is here. A big day. We're having a parade of cars Saturday, which is going to invite the community. So we're going to have cars from all eras, including the very early cars, the teens, to more modern cars up until the 70s. It's going to be a timeline of cars. We're going to start off with the oldest cars. We got car clubs involved in it from several states are going to be coming into Pittsburgh that day. Sounds like I'm going to be maybe one of the lead cars, and that we're going to be kind of recreating some things like Jefferson Highway sociability runs that were done at that time period. But it's going to be going right through the center of town on Broadway, which is going to be right on the route, and we're going to have some special events and activities as the parade comes through. Then the afternoon is open to the public at the Crawford County Historical Museum in Pittsburgh, Kansas. We're going to have a lecture on the highway, its history, and also its future. And then we'll have the cars all going to be there. We're going to have some, actually a photo booth. You can get in a Model T and a professional photographer is going to take pictures there, and we got some other things going on. So a lot of fun. We hope if you're in that area in the Four Corners area of Arkansas, Missouri, and Kansas, Oklahoma, make a drive up to Pittsburgh that Saturday. We'd love to have you.
Awesome. Everyone, again, the information is all on jeffersonhighway.org. Does anybody know what happened to the car of Bonnie and Clyde? Nancy and I saw it in Prim,
in Nevada, yeah,
in a casino. We saw the car, and it really is shot up. Does anybody know where it is now? I'm going to have to search that, too, because if you see that car, you'll see it really was a bloody shootout.
Yeah, big time.
From what I gather, it's still over in Prim Valley.
I believe it's still there. I believe it's still there.
Wow. Yeah. Oh. Man, talk about like crazy. When you see it, you just kind of want to hug your body.
That hurt.
Yeah, that hurts, you know.
Yeah,
we want to thank Natchitoches Tourism, Natchitoches Convention and Visitor Bureau. Natchitoches is the oldest city in the state of Louisiana, and it is part of the Cane River National Heritage Area, home to the Cane River National Historical Park, also the Melrose Plantation. So much history. I mean, we could do a whole show and not stop. And it's part of the No Man's Land, Louisiana No Man's Land. So go to Natchitoches.com. That is spelled Natchitoches.com. It's like a Mickey Mouse thing. So yeah. Check that out. And we air the show every fourth Thursday. It's going to be so much fun as we keep digging into the trail and then actually traveling it. We cannot wait to just keep going with this. So keep tuned with us at bigblendradio.com. We're going to close the show with a song called Texas Blue Moon. It's from one of our favorite singer-songwriters, Shelly King. It's on one of her latest albums, Fan Faves. She's got a new album in the works now. She is known for being the first woman to be appointed the official state musician of Texas by the legislature. So Shelly King rocks. So here it is, Texas Blue Moon. Keep up with her at shellyking.com. Thank you all for joining us.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Sky is clear. You say the things I wanna hear. Ooh, riding shotgun, windows down. You got me in the palm of your hand. The radio is playing my favorite band. Ooh, while my heartstrings come unwound. Texas blue moon. Texas blue moon. Texas blue moon. Texas blue moon.